First John that is right before Second John. You're welcome. First John. Ed, pray for us, please. Amen. You know, I've seen some amazing things in my life with the Lord. I've been saved over 50 years, and I've been pastoring 45 years. And I've seen some real miracles. I've seen some salvations that are just miraculous. You know, nobody ever thought that person would come to the Lord, and how God broke hearts and just brought people, brought souls to Him. I've seen so many blessings and providences and gifts from God that I could just take the whole day and talk about them. And sometimes when you get together with somebody, you just talk about your experiences with the Lord. And it can really be encouraging. I've seen some physical work of the Lord, but what we're going to talk about today is the eye of faith. It's some things that you don't see, but they're so special. It's God working behind the scenes. But to be able to recognize that and see that, we see the Lord. We see not only the salvation of a soul, but we see the Savior at work. We see not only the gifts that are given, but we see the giver of the gifts. And I think that's more important than the gift itself, as we follow that back and see where it came from. Amen? See how somebody's heart was touched and God impressed them to do something. It says about Abraham in the book of Genesis, God says, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And sometimes we see the blessing and not the blesser. And so we'll be looking at that today. I think it'll be a real blessing. Let's look at chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Somebody that knows the Lord knows God's people. Amen. And that witness, you know, goes back and forth between us, because we've both seen the Lord and we've experienced some things. But the world doesn't have that. And we can't get mad at the world, because we were like that at one time too. But we certainly have a heart for them. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. We shall see him as he is. You ever think about that verse? I'm sure you've been through 1 John a number of times in your Bible reading. But we shall see him. Not like we've ever seen him before. There's a lot of pictures. Amen. There's a lot of artist fabrications of what Jesus looks like. But one day we're going to see him. And verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And again, let's go to the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word today. May we see your hand today. May we feel your spirit. Where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. We pray we recognize that with an eye of faith, Lord. May we see you and love you more today than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. See him as he is. There's another text that says, we see Jesus a little lower than the angels. And describing our Lord back in Isaiah 53, it's a great chapter in the Bible, and it tells how Jesus died for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was like as a lamb led to the slaughter. But in verse 2 of that chapter, describing him, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was very plain. He was very common. The common people heard him gladly. When you look at the building of the tabernacle, the end of the book of Genesis, I think it's about 15, 20 chapters describing the tabernacle. And outside the tabernacle it was very, very plain. There were ram skins and badger skins and et cetera, et cetera. But when you went inside, there was the Holy of Holies and there was the glory of God. And what a wonderful transformation the inside was compared to the outside. And our Lord put on humanity. Amen. He was clothed like us and he looked like us. And again, the common people heard him gladly. But you have to see past that to see the Lord. Even the blessings. Blessings of God are designed to make us look a little deeper, be more thankful. Amen. But we're also told in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So not everything that comes our way seems to be a blessing, but it is. Amen. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Christianity is just a blessing, amen? Because it can feed your soul, it can give you comfort, it can be joyful, all the different things that God can do for you. But think of what eternity is going to be like. That's going to be a real blessing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, our text says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for then face to face we're going to see him. In Revelation 22 and verse 4, and they shall see his face. All kinds of verses that talk about this. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you imagine that? One of these days we're going to see God. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is after he rose from the grave and he appeared to them. Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. They saw him physically. He had a new body. Remember, he came through the door, just walked right through it, didn't even open the door. We're going to be able to do that one day. Amen. Because we're going to be like him. Well, we won't argue that. But anyway, blessed are the pure in heart. In John chapter 20, we read about Thomas. And Thomas wouldn't believe because he didn't see. The other disciples are telling him how wonderful it was. And he's saying, except I put my hand in his side and see him, I will not believe. That's a pretty strong statement. I will not believe. It says, when he met the Lord saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. That was verse 27. And so he did that. Amen. And he said, my Lord, my God. But in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We've not seen, but we believe. We believe whatever God says in his word. Amen. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. Okay, that takes care of creation, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That takes care of that. And we just believe it, but the world doesn't believe it. And so they think we're foolish because they can't see what we see. Amen? Had they known he was the Son of God, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But we know. And so we glorify God, and he's so precious to us. We love him because he first loved us. When that enters your heart, it's just such a blessing. Here's the verses. But then face to face, they shall see his face, they shall see God. These are all promises in the Bible. What do we see now with the eye of faith? The Bible tells us, walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And there's the eye of faith. What do we see? We're going to go into that today. Good to have visitors. We're done about 3:30. Yeah, and nobody's allowed to leave, so the doors are locked. But anyway, there's a lot of verses that talk about this. Spurgeon said this, so far as seeing with these natural eyes of ours is concerned, it is the very opposite of faith. And we have, like one preacher called it, a sanctified imagination. we try and imagine what it's going to be like. We try and imagine what it's going to be like, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't know. Amen? We try and a lot of people's, their minds are so filled with what the television gave them, you know, about what the future is going to be, that they picture that in their mind. Like Moses and the flood and, you know, all those different things. And I'm sure they're accurate to some degree, but we're going to surprise ourselves. Well, I don't think we'll surprise ourselves. I think we'll know even as we're known when we get there. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That's what he wanted to see, the beauty of the Lord. There's another verse that talks about the beauty of holiness. Well, what would that be? That's got to be an emotion. It's got to be something so glorious, so wonderful, that we just rejoice in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, there's a battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down the imaginations, but we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's where we go to the Word of God. God describes it. We believe it. Amen. And that's what we try and see in our minds. But there's an enemy for that. And this is 2 Corinthians 11, as I mentioned. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Some people think they've seen God and they might have seen the devil. And it says, and his ministers also, they're deceivers. But they're so good at it and they're so powerful, there's a power at work. We just have to believe the word of God. In Mark chapter 13, verse 22, false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. There is information out there. There are false teachers and false preachers out there that can seduce almost somebody who's saved, somebody who knows God. Because they're so deceptive. We know that from the scripture. The book of Galatians. Here's people that got saved. And Paul is writing back to them. And he said, if anybody comes and brings any other gospel than what I preach to you, let him be accursed. And then he repeated that. He said that twice. Because he was worried they would go in the wrong direction. 2 Corinthians 11, 4. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That's the church at Corinth. That's 2 Corinthians. They should have been a little stronger in their faith by then. The Greeks came to Philip in John 12:21, and they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. That was their desire. They wanted to see the Lord. And one day we're going to see him with the physical eye. Amen. One day that's going to happen. But right now he wants us to see him. And we'll show you that as we go through it. I want to pray today that God would show us something. Amen. We come to church, we sing in the glorious songs. And when you put your heart into it, it's a song to the Lord. Amen. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of worship. And we want to see the Lord do something today in our midst. We want to see the Lord to do something in our own hearts too. And he wants to do it too. Amen? So you get on God's side, some great things can happen. Remember back in 2 Kings chapter 6, there were these enemies and Elijah's the prophet and he had a servant with him. And his servant looked at the enemy and said, Alas, master, we perished. Look at, there's no hope here. And God told Elijah, Elijah's praying, and he says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. There's more for us than there is against us. And God did that, and he opened his eyes, and he saw that heavenly host fighting on his side. We're not going to see that, but we can see a lot of things. Amen. And you can see that in the Word of God. That's our prayer today. When Paul got saved, Acts 26, this was his purpose, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins, we're going to have an inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away. I don't know everything that means, but I know it's going to be good. Amen? Going to heaven's got to be really good. It's going to be a wonderful thing. In John 19, it says, they shall look on him in whom they have pierced. The scoffers and the mockers will see something in that day too. But today, we would see Jesus for who he really is. Another preacher wrote this. He said, to see Jesus is speaking of that mental vision which God affords to those who have had their eyes anointed with heavenly eye salve by the Holy Spirit that they may see. There's one place in the Bible that eye salve is mentioned, and that's in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. It's talking about the Laodicean church. I believe that's the last church age. I believe it was a literal church, but I believe we're getting ready for chapter 4, come up hither. And I believe that strongly. But when you read about the church of the Laodiceans, it was lukewarm. They had need of nothing. That's what they said to the Lord. I have need of nothing. Remember, he's standing at the door knocking. If any man open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. But the door was closed. The church age before that, the Philadelphian church age, was the church of the open door. All the revivals. Remember when you were a kid? Can you remember back 20 years when you were a kid? 15 years when you were a kid? You know, long time ago. But great, great revivals. And there still can be revivals, but they're not like they used to be. But anyway, when we think about that, we come to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. And this is what the Lord said to that church. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That's for us. Amen. Sometimes we get lukewarm. Sometimes I don't need anything. Everything's going good for me. We look at this life and everything's about this life and it's not about the Lord or his will or our future. And he wants us to glorify him and obey him and work for him and serve him. That's what life is about for the Christian. Amen. But he says, I will anoint you, your eyes with eye salve, so you can see. Some people don't see it. They don't see how wonderful it is. But when God touches those eyes, and we'll see in a minute, there's a lot of blind people that he cured in the Bible. And that's the physical part. But he can cure the blindness in the spiritual person too. And we'll see that. Ellicott wrote, O merchant man at heaven's mart for heavenly ware, love is the only coin which passes there. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And you have all of these verses about love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is the coin you can purchase these things with. Because where there is bitterness, there's no love. And nothing is going to get done without that. Wouldn't it be great to see all these things? Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Wouldn't it be great if you could understand and be enlightened so much that it was a thrill to sing? That it was a thrill to read your Bible, that it was a thrill to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ or see somebody saved because of your efforts. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen? And that's only a taste of, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be wonderful. Anybody here, you can't read anything without your glasses. Okay, you like that? Okay. You can't read anything unless you have your glasses on. Okay, Ray? Take your glasses off, open your Bible, and just start reading. Yeah, try it. Give it a try. Let's get the message from Ray today. That's about it. Okay, well, we know the word of the Lord came to Joel. Amen. Anybody else? Raise your hand. You can't see without your glasses. You say, I know you're going to call on me. Can you see, Ed? Okay, take your glasses off. Just open your Bible and try and read some. This is fun. Amen. No, don't give them the big print. Okay, try the spirits to see whether they're of God, right? That's what the verse is, that's the verse. But because the eyes don't work well, you don't see the value of the verse. Amen? And we're reading the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to see Jesus, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Well, I want to see Jesus. Me too. We would see Jesus. How are you going to see him? You're going to see him in the Word. Basically, amen, search the Scriptures, for these are they which testify of me. And so here's a picture of the Lord. Here's a description. These are his attributes. This is what he's done in the past. This is what he's going to do in the future. And you're just filled with all of this excitement because this world is not our home. We're just passing through, the song says. But unless your eyes work, you don't see it. And the eye of faith is a miracle, absolute miracle. We love him because he first loved us. We got saved. That if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the hope of glory, that's a blessing. Amen? Because then those things become alive for you. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus is walking on the water. He's going to see the disciples. They're in a ship. And they're in a rocky sea. And in verse 25 it says, and in the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They didn't recognize him. They didn't say who it was. They thought it was a spirit. The rest of the verse. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. When the word came, ah, amen, it's the Lord. The fear goes away. Be of good cheer. Remember Paul in the book of Acts? Be of good cheer. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. So God is speaking to him. That's how you hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. It's all coming through the word. We would see Jesus. Who wouldn't want to see Jesus? Who wouldn't want to know about Jesus and all the blessings that he could give me? Next verse. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And the Lord said, come on, Peter. He jumped out of the boat. Picture this. Just picture it. And he's walking on the water. Didn't last very long. Amen. What's the next word? When he saw the winds and the waves, he began to sink. When he saw, he took his eyes off of the Lord. It's so easy to go through a week and you're praising the Lord and God is good and you had devotions in the morning or you memorized the Bible verse or you've got a song in your heart and you're singing it and then all of a sudden life comes. Life. And if you're a truck driver, it's a rough life. And all of a sudden you get your eyes off the Lord. And then you begin to sing. Well, even if you do, okay, Lord, save me. And immediately. See, just come back to the Lord. Amen? Keep your eyes on the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where I'm going to look. Look to him. Look to Jesus. We were in Romania one time, and we had a great meeting there. A number of preachers. We preached five men, I think. And there was a lady there from another group from the States, and she sang one of Sandy Patty's songs, "We Shall Behold Him." And these Romanians had never heard anything like that. And boy, it was exciting. It was an exciting place to be. We shall behold him. And we shall. That's what 1 John chapter 3 says. We shall behold him. Ah, I love these verses. Faith is so frequently compared to the sense of sight. Mine eye affecteth my heart. If you ever watch TV and that commercial comes on, they're trying to raise money for pets. And you see these dogs or these cats, and you see their bones and their ribs, and I mean, it's pitiful, you know? And it affects your heart. If that doesn't affect your heart, you got heart trouble. Amen? But it's just a sad thing. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament to not be cruel to animals. Amen? But how about another one? You see a hospital that does work for the children, and it's all, they can bring a child with cancer to their hospital, and there's no charge for the parents. And you see these little children that are so precious. They're just so precious. And it strikes a chord, and it melts your heart. When we see lost sinners, when we see wayward people, wayward children, it ought to affect our hearts. We don't get mad at the child who has cancer. We have pity on them. We don't get mad at the dog that's been abused. We have pity on that dog. We need to stop getting mad at sinners and feel sorry for them. Amen? Have pity on them. Have mercy on them. Because such were some of you. God's been good to us. And he's merciful to the merciful. Amen? And God just wants to be a blessing. My heart, mine eye affecteth mine heart. We don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. And if we're a certain way, troubled people trouble people. We don't want to do that. Matthew 15, verse 14. Jesus said about the blind leaders of the blind, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." That was the Pharisees. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, after vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We would see Jesus. Amen. We don't want to see this. We don't want to see this teaching or this false prophet or this corruption. We want to see Jesus because he makes everything clear. Amen. But you have to spend time with him to do that. In John chapter 9, the blind man is healed. Jesus won him to himself and healed him. And they were questioning and said, "This one that healed you, was he a sinner?" And this is what he said. This was his answer. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." What do you see now? If you're a Christian, you've got to see something different than you ever saw before. You see the salvation of God. In John chapter 9, verse 41, the Pharisees said, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said, "If you would say you're blind, then you could see. But because you say you see, you're going to remain blind." All the fitness God requires is for you to feel your need of him. If you're a sinner, you ask him for forgiveness. Amen? He'll forgive you. But if you deny that you're a sinner, there's nothing that he can do. In Mark chapter 8, verse 24, there was a man that he touched his eyes and he was blind, and he said, "I see all men as trees." It wasn't real clear, and so the Lord touched him again. Now he could see everything. Amen. There's blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus called out, and the Lord said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "To receive my sight." I don't know if you've ever been cold, or they call it backslidden, or away from the Lord, or it's just gotten dull. That's a real fun time, isn't it? I mean, that's just a real fun time. No, it's a grieving time. It talks about, for the Christian, grieve not the Holy Spirit and quench not the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, it's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all those attributes. That's where we need to be, filled with the Spirit. Amen? Because if you're filled with the Spirit, those things will be true in you. And we need that in our lives so badly. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. In Psalm 27, verse 8, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Here's the whole message. I've been talking about we would see Jesus. Amen? We want to see the Lord. We want to hear the Lord. We want just this to be clear. We want the attributes of the Lord to be ours. And it says, when the Lord said, seek my face, what do you say to that? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Amen? God knows what's best for us. So he's saying right now, seek my face. And do that and you'll be blessed. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What do you see in church today? You see a long-winded preacher that I hope he's done now. We'll go get a donut or two in the back, you know, and have a cup of coffee. Now, what do you see? Do you see the word coming out? Do you feel, is there a heart that God has given you to, yeah, I get that, Lord. Yeah, you're speaking to me here. If you can go through all of these verses, and I know I don't do a very good job, but if you can go through all of these verses and not have God speak to you, I would dare say your ear is closed. You've turned away your ear from hearing the word of God. Because these are so precious. We would see Jesus. Amen? He could do so much for me. What do people see in you? In just a minute, we're going to be dismissed. I'm not going to blow my nose. It's too much noise. Paul turns the sound up when I go. He doesn't turn it down. But what do we see? You see somebody who's generous and kind here in church today that maybe won't cut in front of you where the donuts are, you know. You're right. Because all we're doing is bantering. That's good. Boy, that takes the guilt away, doesn't it? Amen. But what do people see in you? What do they see in you? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One day we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And so people look at us, that's a Christian. Boy, I want that. I want that. Look at their spirit. Look at their attitude. Look at how they're helping people. I think it's a great thing for people to see. They see Jesus in us. We're Christ-like. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He's telling them, you're a living Bible. You're a walking Bible. Amen? So how can you be a walking Bible if you don't know what the Bible says? Amen? How should I treat people? God tells you how to treat people. God tells you how to respond to this. God tells you how to have joy and peace and comfort and be profitable for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's great. Two thieves. Jesus on the cross, and here's two thieves. One saw him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The other thief mocked him, said, if you're the Son of God, get us off this cross. Two men saw two different things. Which one would you want to be? I'd rather be the one that said, I know who he is. Remember Judas? All the disciples, Judas, somebody said he kissed the door to heaven and he went to hell. And he had heard all of that. All of that. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore I repent. Therefore I repent. I was speaking to somebody this past week. And bitter or better? Are you bitter or better? Bitterness, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, it troubles you and it hurts other people. But let me give you the better one. You're not better than anybody else. Amen. You're not better than the one that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I do this and do this. and you're better, and you're not going to go home with any help. Amen. If you could say you're blind, you'll be able to see. If you could say you're a sinner, you'll find forgiveness. Amen. If you can say you're weak, you'll find strength. When I am weak, then am I strong. That's the message. But you'll only find it in Jesus. You'll only find it in Jesus. Seek Him with all your heart. There's a song when I was in Sturgis. I've mentioned many times we had a pastor's meeting. Richard had been there, and Joe had been there, and Joe got saved there. And we would have 30, 40, 50 preachers, and a lot of their people would come to these meetings. And we would fill our church. You'd put 300-400 people in there with a shoehorn. And these pastors would come. Every year they would come, and it grew and grew. We did it for over 20 years. Why would they come to a meeting and spend all day in preaching and singing and fellowshipping? Because they're hurting, and they need fellowship. Amen? And so we love one another. We pray one for another. We're kind one to another. What do you see in church today? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're real whatever they are. Yeah. No. What do you see today? Fellowship. Amen? People being kind one to another, encouraging one another. But anyway, there was a song, and it became our song. We would always start the service with it. It will be worth it all. I think it's also called When We See Jesus. But here's a couple verses. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. And when we got through singing that verse, people were standing up and praising God. And one day the tempter will be banished. Oh, man. And then here's the chorus. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You see Him, but you see through a glass darkly. But one day you'll see Him face to face. Man. And He gave us a book that describes Him and how we can be helped or how we can help somebody else. But you've got to see Him. Amen. To help yourself and to help other people. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Savior, we want to glorify You today. We want to know You better. We want it to be so real in our hearts. Only You can do that. May we see You deeper than the blessing, deeper than the gift, deeper than the salvation experience. Deeper than anything, may we see You. Bless us now, Lord. We're going to have prayer and just be dismissed in fellowship. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know our Savior, oh, it's such a blessing to know Him. All you have to do is receive Him as your Savior. Confess your sin and trust Him. Lord, we love You. Bless Your word now. Bring it back to our minds. May it be a help to not only us, but to those we touch. In Jesus' precious name, amen.